Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Pei Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins four lines from the top of Daf Pei Vov. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance in the margin where we have one of our special features of the Shas Ozer, the Nosei, the topic heading, which reads Maise. We will see a long story, Yomo Ha'acharon Shel Rabba, which features the last day of Rabba's life, of Rabba Bar Nachmeni. In fact, we know in other from another Gemara that Rabba Bar Nachmeni passed away at a rather young age, about 40 years old. The Gemara. Note that we have a long marking, and of course in the Gemara text you can see the rather rare marking, the firebox marking, indicating that this particular name and other circumstances, a topic, will preoccupy the Gemara for a relatively long amount of time. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rav Kahana. Ishtoi li Rav Chamo. Rav Kahana tells us that it was told to him by Rav Chamo Barte de Chamo, the son of the daughter of Chamo, Rabo Bar Nachmeni Agav Shmodo Noch Nafshe, the Amora Rabo Bar Nachmeni, who, by the way, was the Rebbe, the teacher of Abaye, and on the likely Rava as well, his well-known Bar Plukta, the Amora that often you find arguing with Rabba Bar Nachmeni, is Rav Yosef. And here our Gemara says that Agav Shmoda, through the fear of the government, and that will become much clearer when we go into the story, that through fear cast upon him by the government, Noch Nafshe, he died. Achlu be kurtza be malka. That's an expression that we're not going to attempt to translate in a literal fashion, but it means that they were malshin. They squealed on him to the government. Omru, these evil people, whoever they were, said to the government concerning Rabba, Ikochad Gavro Biudoi, there is an individual amongst the Jews, to Komavatel Tracer Alfi Gavri Misrael, that causes 12,000 Jewish men. The word Mevatel, Rashi adds to this, to Komavatel Shinikbotsim, where Rashi is a little more than halfway down the Rashi commentary, the Shinikbotsim Elov Benison Vitishrei, during the months of Nisan and Tishrei, the 12,000 people gathered together, Lishmoa Droshes Shel Pesach Veshel Chagim, in Nisan, that's the month in which Pesach comes out, Tishrei is the month in which you have several holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and people come together to hear lectures on these topics. When the king's agents come to collect the head tax, which is paid every month, during those 2 months, these thousands of men are not found at home. So how is the tax collector going to get the taxes for those months? So this is what they informed. These are informers. They informed the government authorities that there is one man who's responsible for so many Jews not being available to pay their taxes, to collect from them their taxes. We go back to our Gemara text. Let's read that line again. The Komevatel Tresar Alfi Gavrim Israel Yarcho Bekaito V'Yarcho B'Sisvo. Yarcho is a month, Bekaito in the summer month, and Sisvo the fall or winter month, which the Kaito for our purposes a reference to Nisan, and Sisvo a reference to Tishrei. And during those months, people are not around, and there's an inability to collect mikarga de malka. Karga is the tax, the head tax of the malka, of the king, that's payable to the king's treasury. Shodru pristika de malka basre velo ashiche. So the authority sent a pristika, an agent, an emissary of the king, to capture him, we'll say, but he couldn't find him. Orak the Ozal Mipubadiso Lakro. Here in the next few lines we have just a list of place names that describes Rabbah's places of escape from one place to another. So he escaped the Ozal and went Mipubadiso. The first place, his own town, was Pumbedisa, and he went to La'akro, Ume'akro, La'agmo, Ume'agmo, L'shchin, Umishchin, L'tzrifa, Umitzrifa, L'eino demayim, Ume'eino demayim, L'Pumbedisa. And you see, here he comes all the way back around to where he started from. B'Pumbedisa Ashkechei, and in Pumbedisa, he was found. Iklo, Pristika, Demalka, Lahu, Ushpiza, Derabo. That very agent went to the inn in which Rabbah was hiding. Krivu Tako Kameh. They served this king's agent by bringing a taka, a table in front of him, a table on which to eat a meal. Ve'ashkuhu Trei Kosi. And they gave him to drink two cups of wine. Ve'dalyua L'Tako Mikameh. And then they removed the table. The significance of the number two, an even number, is described in much greater length in Maseches Psochim. There's a note on the side, Psochim Kuf Yud Amid Beis, where the Gemara describes, we'll say from the world of the occult, if you will, the negative impact that drinking even numbers of cups of wine could have. And the number two is, we'll say, is particularly dangerous. And now this gentleman imbibed two glasses of wine. And what happened? Hodar partsufei lachore. And he was literally, it means his head, his face, turned to his back. So you have a 180 degree turn around of the head, which under normal circumstances is basically impossible. But through the intervention of these negative evil forces, through, we'll say, demonic intervention, this is what happened. Omru lei, they said to Rabbah, who was there, my Navid lay, what are we to do? Gavro de Malkuhu, he's a man of the king. He's a king's agent, and he has significance, importance. We have to do something. Omar Lahu, so Rabbah said, Krivu Tako Lekamei, bring unto him another table, Vashku Chad Kosa, and give him another single cup to drink. And then remove the table and he'll get better. Once he drinks a third cup, you have an odd number. And whatever effects the even number had will depart. They did thusly. And he was healed. Omar, now that he's come to, He's regained his composure, his normal conscious state of being. He said, "May the Yadana de Gavra de Kaba'ina Hachahu." I know that the man I am in pursuit of, namely Rabba, is here. Bochish Abasre, he searched after him. Vashkichayan found him. Omar, the agent, said, "Azlino meha, I'm going to depart from here. E miktal kotlu lahu gavra lo maglino. If, referring to himself, the expression lahu gavra is in the third person, but he's referring to himself and says, if they kill me, so I won't reveal your whereabouts. However, v'e negidi menagdin le maglino. If, however, I'm subjected to oppression, to pain, then I will reveal." We'll say, easier for a person to withstand the test of instant death than to withstand the pressure of constant pain. And therefore, he said, if I'm subjected to pain, then there's no telling, and I'll end up revealing your whereabouts. Asyuhu l'kameh. They brought him to him. They brought Rabba to the king's agent. Aile l'adruna v'tarke l'bova banpei. They put Rabba as a prisoner in an adruna, a room. And Tarke, Lubova, Bova is a door. Tarke is they closed or locked the door on him. So there you have, in the meantime, Rabba is stuck, locked in a room. Bo Rachami, he prayed, Rabba prayed, Porak, Ashisa, Orak, Ozel Agma. And through his prayer, the wall broke. The Ashisa is a wall, Porak, it fell, the wall fell, and he, Orak, escaped. And then v'ozel he went la'agma to a field, to a marsh. Have Yosef agirdo de kula v'kogores. Here you have a manifestation of the greatness of our great people. Here he's basically running for his life. He finds himself a tree stump, a palm tree that was cut down. And he sat there and Goris learned Torah. While he was learning, he experienced a type of either a dream or a divine experience, a heavenly experience, and he became aware of a machlokis, of a disagreement. Komiflugi b'mesifta d'rakia. There was an argument in the heavenly yeshiva concerning the following situation. The Gemara quotes a Tanaic source that deals with the realm of negoyim, of tsoras, skin discoloration that leads to a severe level of tumah. And this particular example involves a white spot with that white spot is known as a baharis, and a white hair growing from within that spot. Depending on the order of events, the individual who's afflicted will either be declared tome or not tome. And it says as follows, Im baheres kodemes l'seir lavon tome. If first a bright spot or a white spot develops on his flesh, and then a white hair grows from within that spot, the individual is declared tome. He's considered a mitzora muchlot. Ve'im ser lavon kodem lebaheres tor. If there was first on the person's flesh a white hair, on normal, healthy flesh, and then the area surrounding that white hair turned white, he is declared tohor. He's not considered defiled. Suffolk, what happens if you're not sure which came first? So here we have what appears as something totally amazing. A machlokes between the Almighty and the heavenly yeshiva, the heavenly assembly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Tohor, the Almighty says, in a case like that, the patient is declared Tohor, where you're not sure which came first. And V'kulu Misifta Derukia Amri Tomei. I'm sure this sounds fantastic to all listeners of this shir. How in the world could there possibly be such a situation where the Almighty God, the creator of everything, including the Torah itself, is in a state of conflict with these other the other members of the heavenly yeshiva. So in the commentaries, it's noted that the following idea that actually we saw earlier in this Masechta Daf Nun Tes, where once the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai to the world, the Almighty Himself removed his word, as we'll say, as the final say. It's, as the Gemara there says, Lo Bashamayim Hi. The Torah and final decisions are no longer from heaven. And hence, here you have the Almighty presenting and participating, if you will, in an experience which makes that point very clear, where he has a point of view, so to speak, and others disagree, and that's fine, that's legitimate, the Amri, and now in light of the fact that there is a machlokes, ma nochach, who will settle this matter? And they said, nochach Rabbo Bar Nachmeni. Let Rabbo Bar Nachmeni settle the machlokes. The Omer Rabbo Bar Nachmeni, Rabbo said concerning himself, Ani yochid b'negoyim, ani yochid b'olus. I am an individual. I am all alone, so to speak, beyond everyone else in these areas that are known as difficult areas of study, the areas of Negoyim, of Tzoras, and the area of Oyholos. The topic of Oyholos has to do with rules that involve the overshadowing of structures and other items over the dead, and it's an entire tractate in Seder Taras, 18 chapters. It's known as a difficult area of study, and Rabbo had gained expertise in these areas. Shodru Shlicha Basrei. They sent an agent to catch him. Lo hava motzi malach hamoves lemikrav lei midolo hava koposit pume migirsei. The angel of death was unable to get near him because he, Rabbo, didn't stop, literally his mouth did not stop from girsei, from his Torah study. This description of the inability of the Malach HaMoves to take someone's soul, his inability because of Torah study, you find by David HaMelech a similar story. Atehochi, in the meantime, Noshav Zika, the wind blew, V'ovish Beinikoni, and made a rustling noise amongst the tree branches. Savar Gunda de Parshihu. Rabbo thought the noise represented a military force coming to capture him. Omar, he then declared, Tenach Nafshe Dehu Gavro V'lim Ser Biyod de Malchusa. Better for me to die. And again, you see the use of Hahu Gavro, which is a third person expression, but it's a reference to himself. Better for him to die a natural death and not be given over into the hands of the king. And with that prayer, you'll see that he actually died and was spared what probably would have been being subjected to torture. As he was dying, Omar, he reacted to the machlokas before between the Almighty and the Misifta Derekia, and he declared Tohor, Tohor, that like the Ribbono Shelom had ruled, that in a case of Suffolk, whether the Baharis came before the Seir Lovin or the Seir Lovin before the Baharis, we declare the man Tohor. Yotza Basko Vyomra, a heavenly voice came forth and announced, Ashrecha Rabo Bar Nachmeni, fortunate are you, Shegufcha Tohor Vyotza Nishmoscha B'Tohor, that your body is a body of pureness and the departure of your soul was in purity, meaning as in reference to his declaring his final ruling, the declaration of Tohor. So as he died, that's what was on his lips. Nofal pisco mirakia bupumdisa. A note fell from heaven in Pumbedisa. Rabba was the head of the Torah Academy over there. And it said, Rabba bar Nachmeni nisbakesh b'yeshiva shamala. Rabba has been summoned to the heavenly yeshiva. Nofku abaye v'rova v'kulu rabbonon lasuki bay. Abai and Rava, we pointed out earlier, they were his students, and all the other rabbis went to Lasukibe to be involved with his burial. Lo haviyadi duchte, but they didn't know where he was. Azlu la'agma, they went out into the fields. Chazu tzipori de metali v'kaimi, they saw birds that were fluttering above, forming a type of canopy, a covering, and they were positioned. They were almost, they weren't moving out of that spot. Omri, they concluded, Shma mino hosam hu. It must be that over there, under where those birds are fluttering, is where he is. Savdu tlosu yomi tlosu leilusa. There were eulogies, 3 days and three nights. Nofa pisco, a note fell from heaven. Kol hapore shehe benidu. Anyone who leaves at this point shall be excommunicated. Savdu shiva yomi. They continued their eulogies for 7 days, for a total of 7 days. And now at this point, nofal pisco, lechu leveitchem leshalom. You can now go home in peace. Hahu yoima denoch nafshe. That day that Rabba died, Dalye Zafo, there was a very strong gust of wind. Vidori Lahutaya, it was so strong that it carried a Taya, an Arab merchant, Ki Rochiv Gamlo, as he was riding on a camel. Mehai Gisa Denar Papa, Vishadya Bahach Gisa. It cast him from one side of the Papa River and placed him down where he landed on the other side of the river. Omar Mai Hai, and this Arab said, what is going on? Amri Leh, they told him, Noch Nafshe de Rabba Bar Nachmeni. Rabba just died. Omar Lefonov. So he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Kulei Alma Didoch Hu. The whole world is yours. For Rabba Bar Nachmeni Didoch. And Rabba Bar Nachmeni is yours. Now that's a literal translation. You can say that he's indicating that Rabba Bar Nachmeni is with you now. At de Rabba, the Rabba Didoch. At de Rabba, Rashi says, Ata Oyhavoy Shel Rabba, you love Rabba, and Rabba is with you. Amai komachavis leilama, why are you destroying the world? There's an intense gust of wind appeared to be the beginning of the destruction of the world. And with that, noch zafo, the gales subsided. And as you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara indicating that that which follows is a new idea. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta Baal Boser Havi. Rabbi Shimon was a corpulent individual. Rashi points out that reference to his obesity is in light of the fact that at the beginning of this long agadic section, back on Daf Pei Gimel Amid Beis, Pei Dalet Amid Aleph, discussion the Gemara presented other great Talmudic figures that were of great physical size, rather obese individuals. So here at the end of the agadic section, mention is made of that again with reference to Reb Shimon ben Chalafta. Yumachad hava chamim olei. One day he was very hot. It was very hot for him. Hava solik v'yosef ashina detura. He arose to sit at the top of a mountain. Shina detura. This reference to a high area. Tura is a mountain. So he went there for some cooler air. Omar lo libarte biti hanifi olai b'menifa. He requested of his daughter to fan him, to create a breeze. Ve'ani etein lech kikrin denerd. And I will give you, in return, clusters of nerd. Nerd is a type of spice that grows in a stalk form. So he was offering her nerd, which was a type of spice, a fragrant plant, as a reward for her serving him. Adahochi, in the meantime, Noshvazika, a natural wind blew. Omar and Reb Shimon ben Chalafta reacted, Kama kirkin denerd lamori dichi. How many bundles of nerd will I have to provide for the one who provided this wind? How much now do I owe the Almighty for providing me with a wind? We continue in the Gemara, a quote from the Mishnah, Hakol Kamine Kamedina. The Mishnah made reference to payment, or I should say, worker relations, and specifically food that is provided by the owner to the workers is in accordance with the local practice. Hakol La Suyemai, the expression Hakol is an inclusive expression. What is it coming to include? La Suye Ba'asra de Nehigi Mishrifta Umishte Anpika. Places that the custom is to have bread and drink an Anpika. Anpika is a measure, a liquid measure. So in a place where that is the custom, where workers are provided with bread, and that it's called a revius of beverage, the Omar Lahu, if the owner should say, Kadimu Va'aisi Lahu, come earlier, and I will provide you with this. The Tosfos explains that what this owner is suggesting or saying is, you come early, come before the Netzahama, before sunrise, and I will then bring you food. Eat during the period of time after between dawn and sunrise, so that during the work day you won't be sitting idly, being idling from work in order to eat. So can he demand that of them to come early before sunrise and during that time eat, so that during the day of work, the work day, they won't be idling and involving themselves with eating? Omru lo, the workers can respond, lo kol kaminoch. It's not within your power within your rights to demand that of us. But rather, we come at sunrise, and after sunrise, we have a right to eat during that period of time, during the daytime. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah, Maise Rabbon Yochanan ben Masya, Shomer Levno, Tse Uschor v'chulei. The Mishnah featured a story involving Yochanan ben Masya, who asked of his son to go hire workers, and the rest of the story you can see by going back to the Mishnah. The problem the Gemara raises, though, is that this incident, the Maisa featured in the Mishnah, doesn't seem to reflect the law taught in the Mishnah. Usually a Mishnah will bring an incident to support the law that it was trying to teach. And the Gemara asks that in two words, Maisa Listar. Do you quote a Maisa, an incident, to contradict that law that it was trying to teach? So Rashi explains the dynamics here. Maisa Listar, second line from the bottom. V'chiderech b'nei adam lahavi Maisa al dvorav l'sosro. Is it the way of people to bring an incident to contradict that which you yourself said? Tikotoni b'reisha kol k'minig medina. The Mishnah said earlier that a food provision is based on the local practice. V'tona Maisa. And then the Mishnah quoted a story where it said, "Afilu ata oislem kesuda shlomo v'chulei." Even if you provide a meal like the great feast of Shlomo, you haven't fulfilled your obligations, and before they start working, so all they're going to get is pas v'kitnis, bread and legumes. The Mishnah in the story doesn't reflect that they would get food based on the local practice. So on the one hand, you start off by saying that food allocation to workers is based on minhag hamedina, local practice. And according to the story, we don't see that the food that was provided, that would be provided to Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya's workers, was based on local practice. The Gemara responds, Chisurei mechasra v'achikotoni. The Mishnah, as it is taught in an abbreviated fashion, and the real understanding, the complete understanding, is as follows. The imposak lohen mizonos, if the owner established that he would provide food, in other words, workers are coming and to work, and there's a known amount that they will get by way of food allocation based on minig hamedina. Now, if the owner says, "I will provide you with food," then riba lahen. Then that expression is one that indicates he's going to give them more than the local custom. Rashi on the top says riba lahen yoser ala minig. He's increasing the allocation more than the custom. Since it wasn't necessary for him to make a stipulation that I will provide you with food, Mizoni Yiseri Kamar, if he is then stipulating that, he's indicating that he will be providing them with more. Umaise Nami, we continue in the Gemara, Umaise Nami Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya, Shomer Levno, in a story involving Rabbi Yochanan, who told his son, Tse Scholon Upalim, go out and hire for us workers. Holach uposak lahen mizonos. He went and indicated, stipulated that we will provide you with meals. Ukshaboy tzolov ivomar lo. And then when the son returned, the father said, Bini afilu ata oisalen kesida shlomo b'shaita lo yotzo dechoy voscho imoyen. Even if you provide massive meals like King Solomon in his hour, in his day, you haven't fulfilled your requirements to them. Shehein b'nei Avram Yisrael v'Yankov. They are being Jewish workers, they're the descendants of the patriarchs, and Avram, we'll see shortly in the Gemara, Avram provided even greater meals than that. So you have an illustration of an attempt on the part of the son to stipulate meal provision, and the father said, well, by stipulating meal provision, you're actually entitling them to more than the local custom. And the son acted on his own without the approval of the father. The father didn't want that to be. He didn't want a special stipulation of food provision. But you see that if you stipulate that you, if the stipulation would have taken hold, so then the meals that they would have received would have been larger than the standard local practice. In the course of this story, we heard that the meals of Shlomo Melech didn't reach the level of the meals provided by the patriarchs, specifically Avraham. We have a long question, and you also notice in the course of this long question we have a diamond that's used to highlight, and we indicate on the side under our Nosei/Mivneh heading, Mivneh is the structural note, the diamond highlights Sudos Shel Avraham Ushlomo, Eze Mehen Hoysa Gedola. The meals provided by Avraham and King Solomon, which was greater? So the Gemara asks, Lememro de Sudosa d'Avraham Avinu Adifa mi de Shlomo? Are you suggesting that the meal provided by Avraham was greater than that of Shlomo? V'hoksiv, with regard to Shlomo, it says, and here we have a scriptural citation that lasts about four lines of Gemara text. V'hoksiv, ayhi lechem Shlomo liyom echad shloshim kur soles, the amount of bread that was provided by King Solomon for one day was 30 kur. Kur is a dry measure. 30 kur of solas, flour, of fine flour, of expensive flour, b'shishim kur, kemach, and 60 kur of a lesser quality flour. Asora boker brim, 10 large, healthy heads of cattle. Vasora boker rei, umea tzon levad me'ayel, Utsvi, the Achmur, and the Pasuk enumerates other numbers concerning meat that he was providing, Ubarburim Avusim, and we'll see later an explanation of what Barburim Avusim is a reference to, but for our purposes, we see right now that the meal of Shlomo Melech was quite elaborate. The Omar Gurion ben Astion Mishmei to Rav, and Gurion said in the name of Rav, Halolu, the Kemach and the Soles, the flowers that were mentioned, La Amilon Shel Tabochin. Rashi explains what Amilon Shel Tabochin is on the second line from the top. Halos, these are loaves, Asuyos, that are made, Lechasos Pi Hakderos, Lishoiv Zuama Satavshil, that are placed over pots to absorb debris during the cooking process. V'Rabitzok, we continue in the Gemara, V'Rabitzok Omar, Halolu, the Halolu that he refers to is the Boker and Son, the cattle and sheep that are mentioned in the Posuk, Letzike Kedera. Rashi says, on the fourth line from the top, Letzike Kedera, Eino Elo Lamin Michael Shishmo Tzike Kedera. It's, we could say that it's very likely a reference to food. Rashi uses a French word which indicates, refers to spiced meat. My impression is that it's not the main course, that the even though we have a rather large amount of meat referenced in the pasuk, it was to serve as tzike kedera and not necessarily the main course. The Omar of Yitzchok, Elef Noshim Hoyu L'Shlomo, he had 1,000 wives. Kolachas V'achas Ostolo B'Veisal Kach, each one of these wives made feasts, like was just described above. My taima, why this behavior? Each one of the women was thinking that maybe he will dine with me today. So far, we've seen a description of the meals, the feasts that were prepared for Shlomo HaMelech. The Ilu Gabi Avram, Ksiv, when it comes to Avram, it says, V'el HaBoker Rots Avram, and this is in the Parsha of Vayera, where the angels came to visit him, and it says, the three men, which of course he, Avram, didn't know they were angels at that time, and it says that he ran to the kennel, Vayikach Ben Boker Rach V'toiv, and he took a fine the head of cattle of Yomar Rav Yudha Marav, and here you'll see he breaks down the pasuk. Ben Boker equals Echad, one animal. Rach equals Shaim, it's a reference to a second animal. The Toiv equals Shlosha, a third animal. Well, Avram, for his guests, brought three animals. That's far less than the number of animals featured in the meals concerning Shlomo HaMelech. And why then did we get the impression from the story with Rabbi Yochanan and Masya that the meals of Avram superseded the meals of Shlomo? The Gemara answers, Hasam, in the case of Avram, Tlosa Turi Latlosa Gavri, there are three heads of cattle for three men. That means one man, one cow. A whole cow for one man. Hacha by Shlomo, the whole Yisrael Yehuda. The meals described above were not for King Solomon himself and his wife, but they were meals provided for all of the Jewish people, for all of Yisrael and Yehuda. Shenemar Yehuda of Yisrael Rabim Kechol Asher Al Hayam, and the pasuk describes the population of the Jewish people as being like the sand at the shore of the sea, so that on a per capita basis, the meal provided by Avram was far greater than the meal provided by Shlomo HaMelech. In the Gemara above, we featured the meals of Shlomo HaMelech, and reference was made to Barburim Avusim. Our Gemara here picks up on that point. Notice the arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow that you see above where this was mentioned. My Barburim Avusim. By the way, in the margin under our a topic heading, we have a tatnose, it means a sub-topic heading. Dalid Deos, there are four opinions. The Hasbir, Barburim Avusim, Shemuzker Eitzel Shlomo. The term Barburim Avusim that was mentioned by Shlomo Melech above. So get ready now for four explanations. Omar Rav, Sheoifsim Oison Baal Korchan. It's a reference to birds, fowl, that were, Rashi calls them Tarnagolim, chickens, that were force-fed. Ushmuel Omar, She'avusim v'oimdim me'aleim. Shmuel's approach is that they didn't need to be force-fed, they simply were very well-fed on their own. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Mevi'in. Now the next four words you can see we have in a brackets, and the reason for that is that the issue of that which is in the brackets isn't really directly related to our discussion. The reference to Rabbi Yochanan as Gimel as the third explanation is found right after the angular brackets. But that having been said, we read the Gemara straight through. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Tor, the Tof and Shin are letters that interchange. This is a reference to an ox, shor. Mi mar iso bidolo onis. It's a reference to a grazing ox that did not do any malocha. It didn't do any work. Called a pampered ox. And v'tarnegelis me ashposa bidolo onis anisa. A chicken that was brought from the ashpa. Ashpa literally is a garbage heap. That's where chickens often feed. But the lo anisa means it wasn't involved with the raising of chicks. You'll notice that there's a bracketed section, and on the side we have a double starred note indicating tam hasugrayim achreim muva oid dea. After these brackets, another opinion, namely amemar b'mahu barburim avusim. Now that we've pointed that out, we can read the Gemara straight through. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Muvhar Sheba Behemos, the choicest of cattle is a shor, an ox. Muvhar Sheba Oifos, the choicest of birds, Tarnagirlis, a chicken. Amar Amemar. Now Amemar gives his explanation of Barburim Avusim. Zagso Uchmasa. Zagso is a chicken. Uchmasa, black. Be Batnisa. The word Batnisa, you can see, has the word beten in it. Beten means a belly, so it's a reference to a large or fat chicken. The mishtakcha beini atzri. It's found amongst the area. It's found within the area that olives are pressed. I should say that grapes are pressed, and the chickens will eat the grape seeds. And it's so fat, the lomatio pasio kanya. It's unable to jump across a beam, being that it's so overweight. Now, we continue with psukim, and we have also a topic heading in Nosei that we indicate goes to Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. And we've written in the margin, Hachonis shel Avram lekabel pnei Orchov. Avram's efforts in preparing for receiving his gifts, for his guests, the food that he prepared and other measures that he took to welcome his guests. As we indicated before, this is a reference to the beginning of Parshas Vayera in Sefer Bereishis, where the three individuals come, they turn out to be three angels, came in disguise to visit Avram. V'el habokar rots Avraham. Omar Rav Yudah Marav. Ben bokar echad. The posuk mentions he ran to the bokar, ben bokar rach v'tov. And we saw this drosha above. So here we're mentioning it again. Technically speaking, it would probably be accurate to say that this is the original source where the drasha is mentioned, because the Gemara above was citing this information in order to formulate the question. But here it's stated as a matter of fact. So the pasuk of El HaBokar Rots Avram, Omar Rav Yudah Marav, Ben Bokar equals Echod, Rach equals Shnayim, V'Tov equals Shlosha. Namely, that Avram Avinu prepared three heads of cattle for his guests. V'Yemo Chad Kede Amri Inshi Rochich V'Tov. In reading the pasuk, couldn't you say that it refers to simply one animal, as people say, a tender and good quality animal. Why is it clear to Rav Yudah Marav that the pasuk is to be broken down the way he did, ending up with a reference to three separate animals? Im kein, the Gemara says, if it's to be understood the way we speak in common terms, you know, one tender good animal, lichtoiv rach toiv, my vitov, the vav, clues Rav Yudah Marav into his drosha. Shma mino le drosha. Emo tre. Granted that the pasuk isn't referring to one animal, because then it would have said ben boker rach tov, but it says Vitov. But still, how do you get to three? Amotre, maybe two. So the Gemara answers, Midatov Ledrosha, since the word Tov is here for expounding, Rach Nami Ledrosha. The word Rach is also coming to add. Mosiv Rabo Barulo, Vitamo Rav Oshaya, Vitamo Rav Nosan Barbi Oshaya. From the following Pasuk, we're going to challenge what we just darshened to come out with three animals. Here it says, Vayitein el hanar, Vayimaher lasois oisoi. And the word oso is in the singular. The Gemara answers, Kol chad v'chad, Yahaveh lenar chad. Each one of the animals was given into the charge of one nar. One nar is one youth. So there were actually three youths. And the reference to the singular form in the pasuk is each individual youth had one animal to take care of, to process. Question: Vayikach chemo v'cholov uven habokar shir osa vayitain lifneim. This pasuk, which mentions the Avram prepared butter and milk, and the ben bokar, which indicates one. The Gemara answers, de kamo kamo de matya aisi lekamayo. Each one, as it became ready, he brought it to the respective guest. The loma li tlosa tizgi b'chad. Why was it so incumbent upon Avram to prepare three animals? Wouldn't one have been enough? Isn't one cow sufficient to provide enough meat for three people? Omar Avchonon Bar Rava. Avchonon explains why the three animals, Kedei Lachilon Sholosh Lishonis Becharol, so that he would be able to serve three portions of tongue, three tongues, Becharol. Karol is translated often as mustard. So, and Rashi says this is a delicacy that kings and officers and officials enjoy eating. So he treated his guests, who in fact appeared as rather common individuals, but he treated them royally, each one getting his own tongue. Omar Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi Le'olam Ayishan Odom Min Aminig. Rav Tanchum tells us that a person should always abide by local custom. There's a common saying that we have, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So the source for that idea is right over here. Share Moshe Ola Lemorim V'lo Chalechem. Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Mount Sinai and spent 40 days, we'll say, in a divine environment, and as holy beings that exist up in the heavens do not eat. Moshe Rabbeinu, being in their company, also did not eat. Didn't eat bread. Bread is a reference, of course, to all forms of food. He simply did not eat. Malachei Hashoris Yordu Lamato. Service angels descended earthwards. The Ochlu Lechem. And they ate bread. The Gemara asks, "V'ochlu sakadev?" Do you think that angels actually ate bread? Elohimo niru kemisha ochlu v'shasu. They appeared as if they were eating and drinking. Before going further, you'll notice that we have a new marking coming up—a house form. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a tatnose, a subtopic heading, mivnet, with a structural note. The house highlights kol. Kol ma she'osa, and we explain. Number one, Dvorim she'osa Avram be'atzmoi l'chvoid orchav. Those activities that Avram Avinu did on his own or by himself, as opposed to having an agent do it for him, that which Avram did by himself for in honor of his guest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also be'atzmo l'chvoid bonav. The Almighty himself was responsible for things that he, the Almighty, did for Avram's descendants, the Jewish people. Number two, Uma Shos Avram Al Yadei Shaliach, that which Avram did not do on his own, but appointed an agent to do it, Gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osa Yadei Shaliach, so to the Almighty did thusly through an agent. In Gemara, Amar Vira Marav, Kol Ma Shosa Avram L'Malachei Ashores Ba'atzmo, that which Avram did for the guests who were angels, that which he did by himself, Osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Fono Ba'atzmo, the Almighty himself did for Avram Avinu's descendants, the Jewish people. The Kol Ma Shosa Avram Al Yedei Shaliach, and that which Avram did through an agent, Osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Fono Al Yedei Shaliach. Likewise, the Almighty didn't act personally on his own, but through an agent. And now, examples. V'el ha-bokor rotz Avram. Avram himself ran to the cattle, to choose the cattle. They, you find in the midbar, when the Jewish people wanted to have meat, the Almighty brought sumptuous birds that were called the slov, and it says, V'ruach nosa me'eis Hashem. The Almighty brought the wind that brought those birds. Vayikach chemo v'cholov. The pasuk says by Avram Avinu, and he brought the butter and the milk. And you find the parallel by the Almighty. Hineni mamtir lochem lechem in Hashemayim. I will bring forth rain down upon you, bread from heaven. A reference to the mon. The pasuk says, "V'hu oimed aleihem tachas o'etz," and he stood upon them, served them under the tree. The pasuk says, the parallel pasuk by the Almighty, "Hineni oimed lefanecha sham al hatzur," describes the Almighty standing, so to speak, kiviyachol there on the rock. This pasuk is by Chorev, and it says in the continuation of the pasuk, we've written between the lines, so it says we had read Al Hatsur b'Chorev v'kiso batsur v'yotzu mimenu mayim v'shosa am v'yas kein Moshe. So now that was the third example. The markings that you see, by the way, the dashed underlining will be useful for us in a little while later in the Gemara. Number four, V'Avram Hoylech Imam L'Shalchom, Avram Avinu himself went to accompany them. The pasuk says, V'Hashem Hoylech Lifnehem Yoimom, the Almighty himself walked in front of the Jewish people by day. Now we continue with an example of something done with an agent, not Avram himself. Yukach no ma'at mayim. The pasuk deals with water. Water was provided for them to wash their legs, and the verb form yukach no, it means through an agent. Water was provided, and you have the pasuk that says, V'kisa batsur v'yotsu mimenu mayim v'shosa om. The rock will bring forth water. This, you can see, is what we had noted before as the continuation of the pasuk, just the line above. But as far as the point the Gemara is making, that here, just like Avram provided water but through an agent, so too, the water provided for the Jewish people was through the rock, an agent. Upliga de Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Regarding the line before, we saw Hinini Omeid Lefonecha. I should say, let me correct myself. Rather, the point three that we saw, where we had dashed underlined the who omeid aleihem, the result or the outcome of Avram Avinu himself standing under the tree serving his guests. What was the outcome of that? So above we cited the pasuk that said, "Hinini oimed lefonecha." That approach is at odds or against that of Rav Chama. Upligo to Rav Chama b'Chanina, the Yomer of Chama b'Chanina v'Chintana debei Rabbi Shmuel. Likewise, this was taught in the a Tanaic source in the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel. Bischar shloisha zochu l'shloisha, and merit or as a reward of for three, they merited three. Number one, bischar chema v'cholov zochu l'mon, as a reward for Avram Avinu providing his guests with butter and milk, the descendants were merited receiving the mon. Now, here is the point that we want to focus on as far as the Gemara structure. Bischar v'uoyimid aleihem zochu le'almud ha'anan, in reward for Avram Avinu himself serving his guests, so the descendants merited having the almud ha'anan. This was the miraculous cloud that covered the Jewish people throughout their travels in the Midbar during the Exodus from Egypt. Above, we said that the result of Ahu Omed Aleihem was the pasuk of Hinini Omed Lefanecha Shama Latzur. Here you see otherwise. Number three, Bischar Yukachno Mat Mayim Zochu LeBeira Shel Mirim. Rashi points out that the Be'er Shemirim is the same as what we said above, the Kisa Betsur V'yotzmenu Mayim. So that point three here is similar to that which was said two lines ago in the Gemara, where we had our little bays in parentheses. Yukach nomat Mayim V'rachatsu Raglechem. We saw in the Chumash, in the Torah, it says, take for yourselves water and wash your legs. This is what transpired with Avram's guests. We could say his welcome was the offer to have them wash their legs. Omar Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Shmuel, Omru Lo, these visitors said to Avram, you're suggesting that we wash our legs, wash the dirt off our legs. V'chi bar vayim chashadetanu, are you suspecting us as being Arabs? Sheheim mishtachavim la'avak raglehem. The Arabs, one should understand historically, that the time of the Talmud was a period of time that they were involved with idol worship, straightforward idol worship. When the founder of Islam came and fought idolatry, that was already at a historical point that the Talmud was already compiled. So when we make a reference to Arvayim, Arabs, in the context of idol worship, in a historical context, you can certainly appreciate that over here. So these, as far as the visitors to Avram were concerned, upon his offer of them to them to wash their legs, they felt that they were being suspect of being idolatrous. And what was the idolatry of the Arabs was the worship of the dirt. They are asking him, are you suspecting us of those that bow to the dirt, that bow to the dirt of their feet? Kvar yotza mimenu Yishmael. In fact, from Avram Avinu, there will come forth Yishmael, who was the predecessor of the Arabs, who in fact did practice that form of idolatry. There is an explanation in the commentary of the Yavetz develops an approach to how in the world could dirt be a form of idolatry. So we recommend looking up the Yavetz commentary. In the meantime, you do see something interesting in this give and take, where on the one hand, you might have asked, well, Avraham Avinu was the prototype, the paradigm of one who fought to eliminate idolatry. Isn't that a most praiseworthy pursuit? Why then is there what appears to be a word of criticism against his suggestion of them to wash their feet? It could be that when it comes to, let's say, the possibility of creating personal insult, suspecting someone of a wrong that they're not guilty of, and on the other hand, the war against idolatry, the better approach would have been for Avraham Avinu simply to be passive, meaning shevi al taseh, don't impose upon them the washing of their feet, because as you can see, that insulted them. We can add that there would have been nothing sinful on Avraham Avinu's part had they simply visited him with the dirt, even if they were worshipping that dirt in idolatrous terms. As far as Avraham Avinu is concerned, he's not guilty of anything, and therefore the suggestion that comes out of this Gemara would be for him to have taken the passive approach and not subject them to what turned out to be insulting. The pasuk says, "Vayera elav Hashem elinu mamre, v'yoyishiv pesach oil k'choyim hayoyim." And the Almighty appeared to Avram in the location called Elone Mamre, and he was sitting by the entrance to his domicile, k'choyim hayomai, k'choyim hayon. What's the reference to the in the heat of the day? Omar Rebbe Chama Bar Chanina, Oysa Yoim, Yoim Shlishi Shalmilish Avram Hoya. The posuk occurs on the third day following Avram Avinu's circumcision. Uvo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishlo B'Avram, and the Almighty, Kiviyachol, came to visit Avram. Avram, who was post-surgery, a type of, we'll call it, he's ailing as a patient from post-surgery. So the Almighty came to visit the sick. Hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chama Min Artika, the Almighty removed the sun from its encasement, and that is what the pasuk is describing, Kichom Yom, the encasing of the sun causes reduces the heat intensity that otherwise the sun is capable of generating. So by removing the sun from its nartik, the heat level rose considerably. Why did the Almighty do that? So that righteous man, namely Avraham Avinu, wouldn't preoccupy himself, and he's in pain, he wouldn't preoccupy himself with tending to wayfarers, to visitors. So by the sun being so intense, people would remain indoors and there would be no travelers. Shadre L'Eliezer L'Meipach Livra. Avraham Avinu sent his slave, Eliezer, to go out to find, to call guests to come in. Nofak V'lo Ashkach. He went out and found no travelers. Omar, Avraham said, Lo Mehem Noloch. I don't believe you. Hainu Di Amri Tamon. It's on this, or based on this, that it's a common saying in Eretz Yisrael. Leis hemnusa b'avdi. There's no trustworthiness in slaves. That and as a result of that attitude, Avraham didn't believe Eliezer, who was his slave. Nofakihu, he himself went out. Chazia Bakurish Borchu the Koi Abova. And Avram Avinu noticed, he perceived that the divine presence was standing by his door. Dichtiv Al No Tavor Me'al Avdecha. Avram Avinu, while going out to greet, to find and welcome guests, he mentions, he says to the Almighty, do not depart from me. So you see that the Almighty, we'll say, concentrated divine presence was there. Kevan dechaza to ka'asar v'shari, when the Almighty, who was standing there, so to speak, noticed Avraham Avinu was changing, we'll say, changing his bandage, the bandage of his of his circumcision. Omar lav orachara lemekamocha. The Almighty said here, the man is changing the bandage, that part of his anatomy. It's not fitting that I should stand here. Hainu dichtiv. Well, with that, with that idea in mind of lo orach ara lemekam hocha, we understand the continuation of the Gemara. Vayisa ena vayar vine shloisha anoshim nitzavim olav vayar vayorots likrosam. The pasuk says that Avram raised his eyes and he noticed three men. Now nitzavim olav indicates they were standing by him. And then it says he noticed and ran in pursuit of them. Meikara, at first, osu kamu alei. They came and stood by Avram. Ki chazyuha dehavulei tzahara, when they saw that he was in pain, omru, they said, lav orachar lemekamocha. It's not fitting that we should stand here while the man is in pain. Man ninhu shloisha noshim. The pasuk just said, we saw the line just before, vinei shloisha noshim mitzavim alav. Who are the three men? Later we discover that they are actually angels. And we should note that on the side of the Gemara, under our topic heading, the Nosei, we've written tafkidim, the roles, shlichusam, agency, their mission, shel shloisha malachim shebo leAvram, reference to the three angels that came to Avram. So what were their missions? The Gemara asks, first of all, man ninu shlosha hanoshim, who are the three people? Answer, Michoel v'Gavriel Rufoel. And now their roles. Michoel, Shebo Levasiris Sora. Michoel came to inform Sora of the birth of her own son, Yitzchak. That, namely, that she'll become pregnant and in a year's time bear a son. Rufoel, Shebo Lerapias Avram. This second angel, came to heal Avram. Gavriel, his presence, Ozal Lamafri Listom, he came to literally to invert stone, to turn it upside down, a reference to the destruction of stone. The Gemara asks regarding stone, Vahoksi Vayavo Shnei Hamalochim Stoim Uva'erev. There were two angels that came to stone, not just one, like you just suggested. Answer. In fact, as far as coming to stone, there were two. The Azal Michoel Bade, Lishazve Lelot. The angel Michoel accompanied Gavriel. Michoel's role was to save Lot. Deka Nami, by careful reading, you will discover this. Dichtiv. Namely, we will see by careful reading that only one angel was responsible for the destruction of stone. The pasuk says in the singular, Vayafoich es orim u'el, V'lo k'si v'yafchu. It's the pasuk appears in the singular verb form v'yafoch, and he turned upside down. He inverted the five cities that were destroyed, and it doesn't say v'yafchu in the plural form shma mino. That's conclusive. Before we conclude today's shiur, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.